Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. May the Lord add his blessing. Three. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. May the Lord add a blessing to these words, and we use them in our everyday life. Amen.
Some of you may not know, but Pastor Sparks has his own church and has a worship service at 11, but he has been faithful by coming here and helping us out on Sundays. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. We appreciate your dedication to Palm Coast United Methodist Church. Let us pray. Almighty, merciful God, God, we've come this morning and we've had an opportunity to fellowship with each other, hugging and wishing everyone well. We've had an opportunity to give back a portion of what you have given to us. The real reason that we're here today is to hear a word from you. So as we prepare to hear your message, we pray that you will open our ears that we may truly hear you in the sermon. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see you, your Son, Jesus Christ, in the message. And open our hearts, more importantly, that we may receive your message to us, to each one of us. And everybody said, amen. Amen. My sermon title today is A Labor of Love. A labor of love. More than 80 countries in the world have a day which deserves the contribution of its workers. In the United States and Canada, it is the first Monday in September. So we ask the question, why Labor Day? Why do we need a Labor Day? Well, here in the United States, on June 28, 1824, Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September a legal holiday in the District of Columbia. The original holiday was meant to handle a problem of long working hours and no time off for workers from their physical labor. So tomorrow we will pause to observe Labor Day. And although we embrace the premise that every able-bodied grown-up is expected to work in order to provide for their basic individual family needs, such as food and shelter, but workers also need rest from their labor. The two go hand in hand. There's a balance. There's a balance. Work and rest. Work and rest. Think about it. Labor and rest are elements of God's creation. Some like to believe that when Adam was created, all he had to do was walk around all day and play golf and eat of the fruit. Well, we know that Adam didn't play golf. And we know that he should not have consumed the fruit from the apple tree. So we ask this morning, what was Adam to do when he was created? We find the answer in Genesis, the second chapter, in the 15th verse. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God's expectation for Adam was twofold. One, he was deemed a laborer with two assigned tasks to do. One, the first task that he was to do was to work the land in order to meet his basic need, food. To number two, he was to look after and take care of God's creation. But even before Adam, we notice in scripture that God is also a laborer. Our scripture reading this morning says that by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Did you hear the comment God made to one of the angels one day after laboring all day? God said to the angel, "Do you know what I have just done? I have just created a 24-hour period of alternating light and darkness on earth." Then God said, "Isn't that good?" And the angel said, "Yes, God, that's very good. But what will you do now?" God said, "I think I'll call it a day." All right, some of you get that one on your way home. "I think I'll call it a day." In God's wisdom, God had already created a labor day. The Bible refers to it as a Sabbath day, a Sabbath day of rest. Now, God is omnipotent and could have spoken the whole world into creation and existence in 1 second. God didn't need a day off because he was exhausted. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day to instruct us. And by his action, God is telling us that there is a pattern of work and rest for our existence on earth. When I was growing up in the South, Americans honored the Sabbath. 99% of businesses were closed on Sundays, and most families attended church together. They would go home, share a meal. They offered up thanksgiving and praise to God to honor God and family. 1 Timothy tells us, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received," what? "With thanksgiving." Everything God created is good. We should always be praising God for God's creation. By God's example, God labored and he rested and honored the Sabbath. But what about his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Why, here on earth, Jesus was also a laborer. He was a carpenter who learned the trade from Joseph. And I'm sure he had calluses on his hands and he had strong muscles from swinging the hammer. Jesus was a laborer. On one occasion, someone asked this question about Jesus. They were following Jesus and they said, "Isn't this man the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" In other words, they were saying, "He claims to be the Messiah. If he is the Messiah, why does he work as a common carpenter?" Like his father, Jesus didn't need a day off because he was exhausted. He didn't need that. But by his action, Jesus is also telling us that there is a pattern of work and rest for our existence on earth. Often when Jesus needed a rest from becoming weary, he also took a Sabbath. Now, I don't know whether you want to necessarily follow Jesus' example if you're working and you only get 7 days a week off, but Jesus would go off by himself and take 40 days. 40 days of rest, a Sabbath. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul wrote, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." I believe here that Paul is saying we are God's creation. We have gifts to be used for our labor, not to earn salvation. We don't work for God and ourselves to earn salvation, but because of our salvation. The biblical account of labor can be grouped into two categories: labor with pay or some type of earthly reward, and labor without pay. Labor without pay is a labor of love, and both are blessings and a method in which we bring honor to God. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to focus on labor of love. Labor without pay. God's creation was a labor of love. Jesus' life and creation was a labor of love. Our salvation is a labor of love. Love is the motivation and the characteristics of our Christian labor. Labor of love. Work, helping others without pay. The closest human example to honoring God with the labor of love is a mother experiencing the birth of a child. One thing that we all have in common, male and female, is that God, that a mother, out of a labor of love, gave birth to all of us. What do we say when a woman is getting ready to deliver a baby? We say that what? She's in what? In labor. Giving birth is a labor of love. Mothers are not paid. Raising a child is a labor of love, not only for a mother, but also a father. We do it out of love. There is no monetary pay in raising our children. I don't know how many of you had an opportunity this weekend to watch some of the homegoing services for Senator McCain. I was taken aback by his mother, 106 years old, was at his funeral. And when I saw her, my heart just bled for her. Here's a lady who's who lost a son, 82 years old, and I'm sure if she could have stepped in the gap for John, that she would have. 82 years old, I want to tell you, I don't know how many of you have heard this story about her. She is a fighter. She encouraged me this weekend. They said when she was 92, she had a twin sister, and they went over to Europe somewhere, and that she decided that she would just drive all over Europe, that they would not take a tour, and say, John McCain called and he said, "Mama, you can't do that. You're too old." She didn't pay him any attention. And when she went to the car rental place, they said, "Ma'am, we can't." And this is a true story. "We can't rent your car. You're 92 years old." She said, "Okay, I'll buy the car." She said, "How much is the car?" And they said, "Oh, that's a different story." And they actually sold her the car. And she drove around, she and her sister. And then when they got ready to come home, she had the car shipped, I think it was to Maryland. And then she and her sister got in the car from Maryland and drove it all the way to California. I was definitely inspired by her. I told my oldest son, "I'm my own boss. You don't tell me what to do." I got that from Mrs. McCain. Our labor of love. If there are no monetary income from our labor of love, what do we gain? What do we gain from our labors of love? I'm glad you asked. Number one, our labor of love helps us to mature in our relationship with God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he said, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Paul, our spiritual works produces faith, love, and endurance to run on to see what the end will be. Number two, our labor of love is not in vain. Because we are workers for the kingdom of God, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, when we stand before the Lord at judgment, our labor for him will be what? Richly rewarded. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Number three, our labor of love is not forgotten by Christ. Jesus speaks in Revelations, the book of Revelations. And this is what Jesus says. He said, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. In other words, we don't validate the wicked. As followers of Christ, we are God's evangelists for Christ. We are to go and make disciples for Christ. Our message of Christ says that we embrace love, not hate. We embrace forgiveness, not revenge. We feed those who are hungry. We pray for those who are going through difficult times. Yes, Jesus knows our deeds and our labor of love. Number four, our labor of love is not forgotten by God. God is not unjust. He will not forget our works and the love you have shown. He won't forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help his people. Proverbs 19 says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Come take your seat, my good and faithful servant. Number five, our labor of love teaches us we are brothers and sisters laboring together. This is not a solo journey here on earth when we labor for love, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building kingdom here on earth. In Colossians, Paul declares, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Jesus you are serving. Whatever we're doing, we are to put our whole self into it, knowing that our boss, our supervisor, is really God. We are called to give everything we have. Let me ask this question. If you were your boss, would you be happy with your work? Is God pleased with your labor of love? you been around people who have asked you to pray that they will find a job? Any of you ever had someone to ask to pray for me, I need a job, or I need a better job? And you pray, and once they are blessed with a better job, or once they are blessed with a job, maybe not exactly what they want, they complain about having to get up and go to work. You ever been around some folk like that? I was telling my oldest son the other day, I'm a firm believer that young men, starting at the age of 14 years old, they should get a job. That was the rule in my house. 14, during the summer, you had to get a job. Then with my oldest son, I think, turned 16, and I say, I'm going to give you my old car. But you have to get a job, a part-time job, to buy gas and to keep it going. And he said, but Mama, I'm in school. I say, after-school job. And I never forget, he had a friend who was working, mother was working at the hospital, and he asked her if she could get him a job. She got him a job. And he came home, he said, I said, oh, you got a job. He said, yes, but I'm washing dishes. I said, very good. I said, I wash dishes every day. Good job. And so when I was doing this sermon, I thought about him and I called him. And I said, do you remember your first, not full-time, but full-time, part-time job? You were a dishwasher. And I said, look where God has elevated you to. You now work for NSA with one of the highest security ratings in the United States, making mega bucks. But he was faithful, faithful to his job as a dishwasher. He's faithful now to the Lord in helping others. We see bumper stickers that say, I'm in no hurry, I'm on my way to work. Or we'll see a bumper sticker that says, O-I-O-I-O, it's off to work I go. Then there are the bumper stickers you can buy at colleges which says, my child and my money go to such and such college. This attitude or these attitudes gives us the impression that work is simply to pay bills, to buy what we need. No, we work to meet our basic needs, and we work to meet the needs of God's people here on earth. Remember, we labor not to obtain salvation, but because of our salvation. Our labor of love is because of the labor of love from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The Labor Day, this Labor Day, tomorrow, I encourage you to shut off your phones, your computer, and other electronic devices connecting you to your daily grind. Get up. Get up tomorrow morning and spend time with God. Then go to an outing with family and friends. Enjoy Labor Day, for it is a day of rest from your labor. For it is a day of rest from your labor. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Let the church say amen. Let's give God a hand clap of love.